They said that nothing compared to what was waiting up there. And one day we would finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but I keep on believing it will be a place like I've never known. I keep my eyes on the sky, cause my soul wants to fly. Lord, I'm ready to go. I wanna know how it feels to make my way down the street so cold. I wanna know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I wanna know how it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I wanna know how it feels. Sometimes I get weary from this life that I'm living. Seems a piece of something I'll never find. I try to lighten my load with all that I've got to show. With 700 things on my mind. Well, I see a vision of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see the look of love on my Savior's face. I wanna know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I wanna know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I wanna know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I wanna know how it feels. Sometimes I get weary from the life that I'm living. Seems a piece of something I'll never find. I try to lighten my load with all that I'm gonna show. With 700 things on my mind. Well, I see a vision of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see the look of love on my Savior's face. I wanna know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I wanna know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I wanna know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of light. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I wanna know how it feels. Testimony, what the power of God can do. I'm a miracle, you can see walking in these shoes. My soul has been saved, my body's been healed, my life has been changed. I know it's real, I'm a living testimony, what the power of God can do. I'm a living testimony, what the power of God can do. I'm a miracle, you can't see, walking in these shoes. My soul has been saved, my body's been healed, my life has been changed. I know it's so real, I'm a living testimony, what the power of God can do. He laid at a gate called Beautiful, he was a pitiful sight. Begging for alms because he was lame. He never walked a day in his life. Peter and John came a-walking by on the way to the temple that day. Didn't have gold or silver to give, but they knew how to pray. In the name of Jesus, they lifted him up. Much to his surprise, he began to leap and walk around saying, I gotta testify. Hey, I'm a living testimony. Everybody here is a miracle. We all got a story to tell. Side of fire down deep inside our bones. Can't keep it to ourselves. How he reached way down and he brought me up out of the miry fiery clay, set my feet on solid rock, started me on my way. You think that wasn't enough, I could testify all day, how he baptized me with the Holy Ghost, and I'm not ashamed to say, at a gate called Beautiful. He was a pitiful sight, begging for alms because he was lame. He had never walked a day in his life. Peter and John came a walking by on the way to the temple that day. He didn't have gold or silver to give, but they knew how to pray. In the name of Jesus, they lifted him up. Much to his surprise, he began to leap and walk around saying, I gotta testify. I'm a living testimony. What God can do. I'm a miracle, you can see, walking in these shoes. My soul has been saved, my body has been healed, my life has been changed. I know it's real, I'm a living testimony, what the power of God can do. Oh, I'm a living testimony, what the power of God can do. I'm a miracle, you can see, walking in these shoes. My soul has been saved, my body's been healed, my life has been changed. I know it's real, I'm a living testimony of what the power of God can do.
1 Samuel chapter number 18. We'll read verse number 5 and then we'll go to verse number 12. 1 Samuel 18, 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Verse number 12, and Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000. Now notice that. Verse number 5, the Bible said Saul set him over. And then here in verse number 13, the Bible said Saul removed him from him, and made him captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. Verse number 29. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by, or his name became precious. Praise the Lord. Father, we come to you tonight. I pray, Lord, that my steps have been ordered in your way. I pray, Lord, that you would arrest the attention of every man, woman, boy, and girl here tonight. I pray, oh Lord, that you would give me the words to help somebody to be encouraged, to lift their spirits, oh Lord. I pray tonight that you would deal with the backslider, deal with the lukewarm, save the sinner, rekindle the fires in the saints, and we'll give you praise and glory for it. in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Praise God. I'd like to preach on tonight, if the Lord would help me. And like I said, I didn't know who would be here. This is what I felt like the Lord spoke to me this afternoon if I was to preach. You can't keep a good man down. Amen. You can't keep a good man down. What a tremendous chapter. Amen. This chapter 18 is concerning the life of David. It's been just a few short chapters that David has stepped on the pages of Holy Writ. Samuel had went down to Jesse's house and anointed him, more or less anointed him to be king. It wasn't going to be the next week. It wasn't going to be the next month. It wasn't even going to be in the next year. Amen. And then we find that little lad, that little stripling stepping out on that battlefield. Brother Tommy, amen, ruddy in countenance. Everybody else, Brother David in Israel, was afraid. But he had attached himself to Jehovah. He had attached himself, amen, to the kingdom of heaven. And you know the story. He brought down Goliath. Amen. And all of a sudden, David becomes an overnight phenomenon. He's the talk over every table in Israel. Have you heard about that little boy? That little teenager boy named David, with just a sling and a stone, he brought down Goliath. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you, all of Israel had fallen in love with him. But not only had all of Israel fallen in love with him, but Jonathan had befriended him. Now, I got to take a moment here to talk about that friendship. Amen. Jonathan was there when David went out. Amen. And defeated Goliath. Jonathan was standing there, no doubt. Had his sword on. Had all of his royal attire on. He was the crown prince. Now, I ain't read this in a commentary, but I believe this. Amen. That the only reason why Goliath lived as long as he did is because his dad, amen, Saul, told Jonathan, you ain't going. It's not safe. He'd already whipped a garrison of Philistines. So I know Jonathan was not afraid. And there was something about it when he seen David go out there. Amen. He said, man, that boy is made of the same stuff that I'm made out of. Amen. And when David come back in to Saul's tent and begin to rehearse it, the Bible said, amen, that Jonathan stripped himself of his royal garments. Amen. Begin to take some things off. Now, I want to tell you, it's remarkable. He was the crown prince. He was the one that was supposed to be the next king. But yet we see Jonathan as he's bowing down, Sister April, amen, to his rival. Amen. And the Bible said that the soul of Jonathan was knit unto the soul of David. I want to tell you, David's victory had proved to all of Israel what a gallant soldier he was. One great exploit, amen, performed, amen, in the sight of the two armies, the Israelites and the Philistines, amen, and David was forever taken out of obscurity. He would never have life as just a little shepherd boy on the backside of a sheepfold. He probably longed for that. Amen. The quiet pastoral life at Bethlehem was ended, Brother Darrell, and it was never to be resumed again. Oh, glory to God. I'm trying to help you. We've had some great singing tonight. Amen. And I don't know that my preaching's going to do anymore. But I want to tell you, I come with this on my heart. Amen. Sudden success a lot of times brings a rapid distinction. Amen. But oh yes, it also brings with it a lot of risk. Amen. Maybe trials and tests. Amen. Which if you're on the backside of a sheepfold, you don't have to worry about it. But now David's out in the front. Israel is in love with him. Jonathan has befriended him. And the Bible said in verse 2 that Saul took him that day and would let him go no more to his house. Amen. Saul said, you're not going home, boy. You're a giant slayer. Amen. You're that harp playing, amen, psalmist. And you're going to stay right here with me. I'm telling you, when it first happened, amen, everybody loved David. Goliath was dead. Amen. Saul said, David, I'm going to set you up over my men of war. You're going to be right under Abner. I know you're a young boy, but you've proved to everybody, amen, that you are a man of war. Are you hearing me? It was great, amen, times for a little while. The wind was at his back. But one day David come back into town. Saul was there. There was singing. And on one side of the street they were saying, Saul is slain his thousands. And on the other side, let's give them a duet. David's killed his 10,000. Oh, we need to practice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. On the one side, they're singing across the street. Amen. Now Saul. Amen. Come on, Goliath's dead. He don't really need David anymore. And now David's taken some of his praise. Amen. David's taken some, amen, of that attention from the king. Amen. And all of a sudden, Saul begins to have a change of heart. And after that song, the Bible said, and David's trouble, amen, followed trial. The Bible didn't say that. Amen. But in essence, the principle was after his triumph, trouble followed. After his persecution, amen, praise, after the praise, persecution followed. And after, amen, amen, the victory, he began to be assaulted. I want to tell you tonight, amen, Saul had set him up. Amen. So Saul was going to bring him down. But I got news for you tonight, Saul. You can't keep a good man down. Y'all here? After the accolades, they begin to assault him. And really, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Rapid success, sometimes in the heights of dizziness, when they're exalted too quickly and too fast, they get dizzy and they're set up for a great fall. Oh, I wish I could preach this like I feel it. Amen. Amen. But David, amen, God wasn't going to do him that way. He let him beat Goliath. All of Israel seen it. All of Israel remembered it. And all of Israel loved him. But if you look at biblical examples, every man of God that ever was used, he had a night of agony. He had a cup of pain. David had Saul. Joseph had his brothers. Paul had a thorn. Amen. David, Daniel had his contemporaries. Amen. Job had a wife that turned on him. I want to tell you something. But every one of them I mentioned, whether it's David, whether it's Joseph, or whether it is, amen, Paul, or whether it is Job, you cannot keep a good man down. Are you hearing me, man? I feel like preaching. Amen. Here tonight. David was anointed king. But there was going to be a process. But now you think about it. It wasn't that way for Saul. Saul was anointed king, and right after he was anointed, he wasn't put through any such ordeal. He stepped right up to the throne without any antagonism, without anybody assaulting him or attacking him. Amen. But to me, that was an ominous cloud. That was a dark foretelling. Amen. That God was really not going to be able to use Saul in the way that he needed to use him. He knew Saul's heart. He knew that he was stubborn. He knew that he was obstinate. Amen. So therefore, he let him go straight to the throne. Amen. But the destiny of this son of Jesse, the destiny of David, that through his loins, the Lamb of God that was coming to take away the sins of the world. Amen. God realized, amen, he was going to have to do something else. David was going to be put to the test. David was going to go through the storm. David was going to pass through the furnace. Are you hearing me? I want to tell you tonight, a faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Are you hearing me? Amen. Come on now. You may be in the storm of your life. You may be in the most difficult battle that you've ever been in. You may think that Saul set you up and now Saul set you down. But I want to tell you, just like David, you can keep a good man down. I think I'm feeling good. But looking at y'all, I don't know. Whew. Listen to me. That faith that was tested developed the staying power in David. It was through that hard, harassing, confusing process. I've been there. I have been there. Amen. Are you hearing me? Amen. I'm not preaching something from my head. I'm preaching something from experience. Oh my God, Brother Bill, I need to preach here tonight. You can't keep a good man down. Oh, hallelujah. You put him in a pit. You put him in a prison. But after a while, he's going to be in Egypt and he's going to be standing by Pharaoh. Are you hearing me? I don't care what you're going through tonight. Amen. Come on now. If God be for us, who can be against us? Are you hearing me? You cannot keep a good man down. Nobody likes to be downtrodden. Nobody likes to be downcast. Nobody likes to be discouraged. Nobody likes to be rejected. Nobody likes to be shelved. Woo. Amen. The Bible said that David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. Whatever Saul asked him to do, he did it. Now, don't you think with me, church, that after that song, that David could sense a little coldness coming from the king?
He felt it, no doubt.
Don't you think he could feel a little stiff arm coming from the king?
Yeah.
Oh, I believe he could. I believe he could. Amen. But everything Saul asked him to do, if it was to go into the Philistines on a risky mission, amen, David was willing to do it. Come on here. I feel like preaching tonight. Amen. And you know, I was thinking about when I read this, David went out and did, amen, ever what Saul sent him. He did his duty well. Amen. Though he was honored, he was not afraid to help. And I want to tell you tonight, sometimes it's easier to abound than to be abased. Oh yeah. Sometimes. But David did whatever Saul said. He could feel it. And as I was studying this, I thought about Joshua. Joshua was a mighty man. If you read of Joshua in Exodus chapter 17, there in sacred writ, and in Joshua chapter number 1, there's about a 38-year span there. Joshua was a gallant character. No scandal, amen, ever, no failure scarred Joshua's life. He believed in winning wars. Amen. When we think of Joshua, we think of a conqueror. We think of a mighty, amen, leader. But brother, I'm telling you, for 38 years, amen, Joshua was the minister, amen, of Moses. He served Moses. Amen. He wasn't raised with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was raised as a young slave in Egypt. He had heard the crack of the whip. He had seen Israelites' backs be laid open. Amen. He had seen people mistreated. Amen. But he didn't sit back and say, I'm a victim. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Joshua always had a dream. I'm going to do something higher. I'm going to do something better. Amen. I'm not going to let my troubles push me back. I am going to get up and do something. Listen to me. He didn't have a silver spoon in his mouth. I preached on that this other night to these young folks. I don't need to get on that trail again tonight. But hear me tonight. I don't think tough times hurt us as much as we think they do. One man said affliction is a better friend to character than affluence. Are you hearing me? We are an affluent people. When I went to the Philippines, and you guys, a lot of you guys have been on, have been foreign. Hey, man, we are an affluent people. Are you hearing me? The poorest among us tonight is better off than a majority of the world. But there was one thing I noticed about them Filipinos. They had very little, but they were so happy. They had joy. When I heard Pastor June step up to the mic and say, begin to sing. When the world looks upon me as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. But in my heart, I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Thank you. And I seen where he pastored. And I seen where he lived. We sing it in America and we think of all of our blessings. in our full cupboards and everything. But I'm afraid that affluence has ruined us. It's made us soft. Amen. We can't hardly take a trial. Amen. Anything offends us. But I want to tell you here tonight. Amen. Amen. Listen to this verse. And Joshua did as Moses had said to him. Amen. For 38 years. Amen. He was second fiddle. Amen. But his time came. I want to tell you, you may feel second fiddle here tonight. You may feel nobody knows your name. You may not have a solo in the choir. You may not have a Sunday school class. You may not be preaching a revival. But I want to tell you, if you'll do what's right, amen, no matter what you're going through, the devil can't keep a good man down. I've got to hurry. That one boy got a job. They asked him, "What can you do?" He replied, "I can do as I'm told." They hired him right on the spot. Are you hearing me? That's what David could do. He did what he was told. Wherever Saul sent him, he said, "I'm going." Amen. Oh, I'm getting ready to preach if the Lord will help me. He did his duty well. Amen. David had already proved to be a dutiful son. Faithful on that back of that sheepfold. Amen. With a sling and with a stone. Writing the Psalms. I don't know if he wrote that psalm they sung tonight. Amen. I didn't want to pick my Bible up and look because I thought somebody might think I was wanting to preach. Amen. Are you hearing me? But I want to tell you, he was the psalmist. He sang, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Amen. Come on now. You may be in it. Your back may be against the wall. You may be going through the furnace. But I want to tell you, do your duty with a heart full of love. Amen. Keep on praising. Keep on praying. Keep on coming to church. Because the enemy cannot keep a good man down. Saul set him up. Saul pulled him down. Saul died on Mount Gilboa. And David took his throne. You can't keep a good man down. Oh, I read this story, amen, about Gabriel Williams. He was a lion tamer in a big circus under a big tent. One night, he was doing his act or his part of the program. Amen. Them big lions were there. They were loose. Big crowd under that tent. All of a sudden, Brother Kevin Webster, the lights went out. You could feel the fear in the building. You could feel the panic, the apprehension, the tension. Amen. But in the midst of the darkness, the crowd heard Gabriel Williams cracking the whip. Amen. Slapping the chair down, doing what he always done. In a little bit, the lights come back on. The lions were doing what they were supposed to be doing. Afterwards, the media come to him and said, "How in the world did you keep it going under pressure? How in the world did you maintain your cool when the lights were out?" He said, "This is why." He said, "I knew that the lions could see, but the lions didn't know that I couldn't. Amen. So I kept on doing what I've always done." I want to tell you tonight, you don't have to sit back. I know that lion is a roaring lion. Amen. But keep on doing what you've always done. Amen. Shout and worship and praise and give God the glory. Lift your hands. Ask God to help me. You can't keep a good man down.
I want to be a good man. Come on.
David got a double mission.
Thank you, Jesus.
That day, Brother Bill Parks. Glory. I'll tell you what, Brother Tommy Tolliver, Brother Terry Guthrie, and Brother Kevin Webster, and Brother Bill Parks, and Brother Justin Rogers, and Brother all these preachers. And I know they could do a lot better than I'm doing. But hear me, Brother Dickey. I'm trying to help somebody. You can't keep a good man down. You can't keep him down. Amen. A good man, you can't keep him down. He slew that lion. Amen. He gained the love of Jonathan. Amen. But in gaining the love of Jonathan, he also gained the envy of Saul. The Bible said in Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who can is able to stand before envy? Who can stand before envy? David had to deal with Saul's envy. Jesus had to deal with the Pharisees' envy. Pilate delivered him up, but he knew the Jews had delivered him for what? For envy. Amen. And I want to tell you, if you're a blood-bought, born-again, sanctified child of God, you've got to put up with the devil's envy. He hates you if you're born again. He hates you if you've been washed in the blood. He wants to take you down. He may have knocked you down, but you need to get back up and say, you're not knocking me out. Horace said, a tyrant never invented a greater tormentor than envy. Erwin Lutzer said, envy is rebellion against God's leading in the lives of his children. It's saying God has no right to bless someone else more than you. The envious man feels, Leslie Flynn said, he feels others' fortunes are his misfortunes. Their profit is his loss. Their blessing is his bane. Their promotion is his demotion. Their success is his failure. I want to tell you, you could put Saul there. He felt that David's success, amen, was his failure. He felt that David's fortune was going to be his misfortune. And he was envious. He became David's enemy continually. Oh, I need to preach. Amen. Come on now, the Pharisees. Amen. Jesus stepped on their turf and they didn't like him. He called them snakes. He called them vipers. He called them whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. And they didn't want nobody, amen, coming and redoing. And they were envious. And I want to tell you tonight, the devil doesn't like you either. Amen. You know why? Because we're getting ready to take his place. Hallelujah. I said the devil don't like you because we, as the church of the living God, are getting ready to take his place.
Hallelujah.
That's right. That's right. You can't keep a good man down. I know you're saying, I wish you'd get done, preacher. Saul's reaction was a reaction of rage. He could not stand for David to get more praise than him. He becomes so bitter, so disillusioned, so bloodthirsty. When he went to bed, he was thinking of David hanging in a noose. When he woke up in the morning, he was thinking of David, amen, thrust through with his sword. Are you hearing me? Amen. Why do the heathen rage? Why are governments rocking? Why are the foundations of our world reeling? Why are there bombings going on in Boston? Amen. Come on now. Why are madmen making nuclear weapons in North Korea? Amen. And in Iran? I'll tell you why the heathen are raging. Amen. Because the devil's envious. And he knows that Christ is getting ready to come back for his glorious church. Are you hearing me here tonight? I want to tell you the devil knows that he has a short time. That's why he's trying to distract you. Amen. With things that really don't matter. He's got your attention. He's got you troubled. Amen. He's got you feeling like you'll never get up again. He's got you feel like you'll never shout. You'll never worship. You'll never feel his presence. But I want to tell you, he can keep a good man down. You know, there at the altar, when I got saved, Brother Bill, I know nobody could see it. That night I got saved, it was like Goliath falling in my life. The Goliath of drug addiction, the Goliath of alcoholism, the Goliath of lust and a horde of other sins. One big giant in my life. And it was at that altar. It wasn't at the tank where I first saw the light. It wasn't being baptized in Jesus' name where I first saw the light. But I knelt at an old-fashioned altar. And I said, what can wash away my sins? And my soul said nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm telling you, when the blood of Jesus, amen, cleansed me, amen, Goliath toppled. And I got up free. I got up liberated. I got up set free. And it was there at the altar that I got that double blessing that David got. Or a blessing and a curse. I got Jesus. I got Christ and a church to love me. And I got the wrath of the devil to hound me and follow me and tempt me. I want to tell you tonight, if you've been born again, you felt the hot breath of the enemy. Amen. Breathing down your neck. Amen. There's some sitting here tonight. Amen. You tripped up. You made a mistake. Listen to me. It's already over. Amen. You've got to forgive yourself. You've got to believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, God's Son, can cleanse you. Amen. And when you get that, you're going to get back up. When you get salvation, you cannot keep a good man down. Can't do it, Bill. You can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good man down. No way. You know, David went through that process. Did you know, Sister Legina, how David made it through that process? You know how he made it? He would have never made it if Jonathan wouldn't have loved him. Jonathan was with him all the way. When Daddy died on Gilboa, Jonathan went down with him. Huh? Let me tell you the kind of man David was. He honored Saul just like he honored Jonathan. Oh, come on now. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you, you can't keep a man down like that. Are you hearing me? He could have took Saul out. Hear me tonight. Satan hates you if you're born again. He's got great wrath against the church. You know why he wants our services tight? Do you know why he wants us sitting between the pew? Do you know why he wants us not saying amen? Amen, because he hates us. He doesn't want the presence of the Lord to have free course in our services, because he knows where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where the presence of the Lord is, chains are going to break and prison doors are going to be open. Amen. The deaf are going to hear. The blind are going to see. David had to deal with Saul. Saul said, I'm putting you over the men of war. Now, I'm putting you over a captain of 1,000. You know what David did? He kept on doing his duty. People were saying, did you hear what Saul did to David? He shouldn't have done that to him. He's a good man. He's demoted. He demoted. And they'd be listening to David. He'd be walking around. Amen. Whatever they might have been doing, shining their swords. And David would be saying, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Forever. Huh? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Woo. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them. How's he do that? I'm going to tell you, that's what the devil sometimes, he gets confused when he's gave you your best shot and you're like a Timex watch. You took a licking and you keep on ticking. Amen. He's hit you every way he can and you're still praising and you're still shouting and you're still coming to church. The devil can't handle it. Keep a good man down, Cal. Brother Robbie, he hates the church. I'm going to tell you why. If you read in Ezekiel chapter 28, there's a picture of the devil there, and he's got a covering. His name's Lucifer. He's an archangel. He's heaven's choir leader. He had been there. He was. And he was singing, holy, holy, holy. Huh? He was bedecked with all of these stones. Amen. Read though where those stones are. I can't call them off the top of my head. Amen. But about all but three of them, amen, are in the foundation of that New Jerusalem. Are you hearing me? Amen. So when he's in the regions of the damned, he's going to look up at the foundation, amen, of that New Jerusalem. Amen. Those stones that he used to wear are the foundations of that city. And in the midst of those foundations is the names of Peter, James, and John. Amen. It represents the church. Amen. He's going to look up. Amen. And he's going to hear a church that's singing. Amen. A church that took his place. And that's you. And that's me. I want to tell you tonight, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He brought me up out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a solid rock. He put a new song in my mouth. I want to tell you, am I looking at a church here tonight at Bethany? Do you have a new song? Do you know how to sing? Have you been blood washed? Have you been liberated? Have you been brought out of Egypt? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the church of God. You can't keep a good man down. David made it to the throne. Jesus came out of the tomb.
Yes, he did.
And the church is getting ready to go home in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. All of hell is trying to come against the church. Amen. They've deported us. They've demoted us. They put us in a corner and they said, you're irrelevant. You're out of steps with the time. But I want to tell you, there's still a church that is marching on. There is still truth that is marching on. Come on, saints. I said, come on, saints. Can you give him some praise? Come on, he wants to hear you sing. He wants to hear you worship. He wants to hear you praise. Come on, Sister Boyd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know how I got to where I am today? When Saul demon, I'm nothing like David. I understand that. I'm not trying to pin no. But when I was demoted through the fault of my own, I had to find an altar and I had to wrestle like Jacob did at Jabbok. And God said, what is thy name? And I couldn't say preacher and singer and T.D. Boyd. And I said, I ain't worth nothing, Lord. Without you, I can't make it. And he touched me in the hollow of my thigh. And then I had to get up. And whatsoever the Lord said, amen, for me to do, I had to do it. Are you hearing me? My God, I feel like preaching here tonight. I want to tell you, there's some folks here tonight, you're flat on your back. You're down. You're disillusioned. And God sent me to tell you, the devil can't keep a good man down. There's people right back here, you're hurting. You feel like I can't get back up. But you can get back up. By the help of God, you can walk again. By the help of God, you can live again. By the help of God, you can serve God again. I'm through. Saul demoted him. I love verse 16. Saul set him up. This is David. You ought to hear him preach. We ain't never had a preacher like him, man. Giants fall when he preaches. You ought to hear them sing. I'm telling you, lions and bears are slain when they get to singing. But all of a sudden, rage and envy. And he says, David. And he puts him over there. And he says, he can't preach a lick. He can't do nothing right. And you know what? I love this verse. I love this verse. Saul, set him up, put him down. But verse 16 said, all Israel and Judah loved David. Because he went out and he came in from among them. They knew who he was. They knew what Saul was. But they fell in love with David because his spirit was right and his attitude was right and he walked lowly and he walked humbly.
you're never going to get the victory murmuring and complaining. I heard Alan Pascarella say one time, you know what murmur is? It's baby language. Murmur. Baba. Wawa. Mama. Dada. Huh? You'll never come out if all you do is murmur and complain. You know why Israel loved David? Because David kept a song. Do you know why you can't keep a good man down? Let me read this poem. I'm going to open these altars because there's some folks here tonight. You've served God. You feel God dealing with you tonight. This message has gave you hope. This message has spoke to your soul. And you need to respond to it tonight. But I love this. A little brown cork fell in the path of a whale who lashed it down with his angry tail. But in spite of its blow, it quickly arose and floated serenely right beside his nose. Said the cork to the whale, you may flap and sputter and frown, but you never, never, never can keep me down. For I am made of the stuff that is buoyant enough to float instead of drown. I want to tell you, if you get God in you, you're going to have a little buoyancy. Let the devil slap. Let the devil trip. But if you get that buoyancy, you're bouncing up. He'll push you down. You're coming back up. He'll push. You're coming back up. Let's stand all over the building.